So this is our final day of the seminar on the glorious life and teachings of Srila Haridasa Thakur. And we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, again, chapter 3, The Glories of Haridasa Thakur. We'll do 78, 79, and 80 today. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Go Bhaktivindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Go Bhaktivindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktivrindam. Haridasa Bhale Tomara Yavat Marchastiti Tavat Stavara Jagama Sarva Jivajati. Haridasa said, "My Lord, as long as you are situated within the material world, you will send to the spiritual sky all the developed moving and non-moving living entities in different species." Haribol. "Then you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. Se jiva habe ihan stavara dhangama tate bharibe brahmananda yena purva shama." My Lord, in this way all moving and non-moving entities will come into existence and the entire universe will be filled as it was previously. Purport. While we are preaching, opposing elements sometimes argue. If all living entities were delivered by the Krishna conscious movement, what would happen then? The universe would be devoid of living entities. In answer to this, we may say that in a prison there are many prisoners, but if one thinks that the prison would be empty if all the prisoners adopted good behavior, he is incorrect. Even if all the prisoners within a jail are freed, other criminals will fill it again. A prison will never be vacant, for there are many prospective criminals who will fill the prison cells, even if the present criminals are freed by government. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Karanam Gunasangasya Sat Asat Yoni Janmashu. Because of the living entity's association with material nature, he meets with good and evil amongst various species. There are many unmanifested living entities covered by the mode of ignorance, who will gradually come to the mode of passion. Most of them will become criminals because of their fruitive activities and again fill the prisons. Translations again. Haridasa said, "My Lord, as long as you are situated within the material world, you will send to the spiritual sky all the developed moving and non-moving living entities in different species. Then again, you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. In this way, all moving and non-moving living entities will come into existence and the entire universe will be filled as it was previously." Omagyan timidandasya ganangina shalakaya chakshur miritam denatas maya sivitvena maha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Dhinabhutale Swayam Rupakadam Ayandadantisvam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So today we conclude our seminar on Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur. Those of you who are readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita and perhaps Chaitanya Bhagavat, you'll know that it's unfortunately not possible to cover all the major events in his life in 4 days. The children are making noise. And even if we did, there are certainly many, many more of his pastimes that we could glorify. The glories of a pure devotee are actually unlimited. For all that's been said about the glorious life of the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, in the Bible, in John 21:25, it is said about Jesus, "And there are many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that could be written about him." But we do have time today to hear and savor two last pastimes. And no doubt, all of you have heard them before, but as you know about Krishna conscious subject matters, being on the transcendental platform, they're eternally relishable. The sages of Naimisharanya, when Sutta Goswami was about to speak about the eternal pastimes of the Lord, they said, "Vayam tu na vitripyama, utam shloka vikuname, yachtrinvatam rasaginam, svadu svadu pade pade." That's the line everyone remembers. Svadu svadu pade pade, svadu svadu. The sages, they said to their guru, "We never tire of hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment." Svadu, svadu, pade, pade. So, this is the nature of katha, Krishna katha. If you attend many Bhagavatam classes throughout the years, then you'll come across the same verses again and again, and some of the same points, and every speaker has their style, a little different analogy, a favorite story, but it's the same, but it's ever fresh. Svadhu, svadhu, pade, pade. So we're going to discuss a couple of pastimes of Haridas Thakur, but it will be fresh. Unfortunately, or ultimately, fortunately, we're going to be discussing the persecution that Haridas Thakur had to undergo. It's a central theme, as we've been mentioning the last few days, at the hands of the Muslim rulers. It's painful to hear, but here we must, because there's many relevant instructions that will deepen our faith, our shraddha in Krishna consciousness, and our strength and our conviction to share our good fortune with others. In this way, Haridas Thakur was acharya. He teaches by example. And fortunately, Srila Haridas Thakur and all our acharyas and our own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, have taught us how to act in every aspect of life. Everything's covered by their lifetimes. From conception to departure. We know that in Krishna consciousness, even before the householder couple conceive, they do the Garbhadan Samskara. There's a way to do everything in Krishna consciousness. They don't just have sex and leave it up to chance. But there's a procedure. It's simplified in modern times. Prabhupada asked the Grihasthas to chant 50 rounds. One devotee in Mayapur, there, I was noticing their child was really Krishna conscious. It was like 4 or 5. He said, "Yeah, he's a 50-rounder. It's like, what? He's a 50-rounder. Like, you could, that's like inside information. You couldn't. So from the cradle to the grave, we have the philosophy and we have the devotees who demonstrate how to practice. There's no reason we can't become fully Krishna conscious if we take the philosophy and the example of our acharyas to heart, from the cradle to the grave. Just like our spiritual master, Śrīla Prabhupāda, when his pastimes on earth were coming to an end and he was on his deathbed in Vrindavan, he actually asked that all his disciples come and spend those final moments with him. I remember he asked, that the notice went out, that he wanted everyone to be there to witness the final test, the final lesson. It's coming. Ahanya hani bhutani. Most people are just oblivious to it, being infatuated by the false hopes of happiness in this world. So we don't think about it, but that moment will come in everyone's life, that final moment. And it's not an easy time to leave everything behind. Prabhupada said, one of the first lectures I heard, it made a deep impression on me. He said, the moment of death, you have to fly your own airplane. And I imagine myself in a 747, you know, as the pilot. There's no co-pilot, there's no stewardesses, there's no people in the plane. I'm just flying it alone, so you have to take the flight lessons. And you're alone. You have to leave everything behind. You have to leave your body, which is your main attachment. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are, thank you. You have to give that up. Even when it's old and diseased, we're still attached. You give up your extended body, your family members. You have to give up your house. You have to give up your possessions, your money, your bank balance, your prestige, your name, everything, and you go it alone. So this is the final exam, and all of life is meant for that moment. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam ti ajati anta kalevaram, because Krishna says, whatever you remember at the moment of death, that will determine your next destination. And your consciousness at the moment of death is dependent upon your actions throughout your life, how you lived your life. So we have to live our life accordingly, so our next destination will at least be better than this, if not the best of the best, back home, back to Godhead. It's a serious thing, Krishna consciousness. It's a serious thing, the human life. So Prabhupada, he was very kind. He allowed us to enter into that world of that domain, that moment when he was leaving his body. Usually people prefer, it's a whole science actually, palliative care. And they say that at the moment of death, you know, the person who's leaving just wants to be with the close family members, you know, those they trust and they love and they want to hold on to. And no, I don't want to go. You're just surrounded by the few like that. But in Krishna consciousness, we understand that, you know, we're part of Krishna's family. So Prabhupada, which is a very large family, and the devoted members, Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to come. Of course, it was not practically possible that everybody comes. So when Yadubhara Prabhu, ISKCON's preeminent filmmaker, humbly asked Śrīla Prabhupada if he could film his final moments, and actually the moment when he departed, Prabhupada gave his consent. He agreed, because he was teaching the final lesson, how to leave this world in full Krishna consciousness. Ante kale cha mam eva smara muktva kalevaram yapra prayati sa madbhavam yati nas yatra samshaya. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So that's a famous verse. But how to do it? You know, you read the little child's looking at the page. Huh? But the teacher takes her hand and writes A, B, C. I remember when I was young in school, I was a little slow. Like this, A, B, C. So there's the Shastra, and we look at it like, I don't get it. So then the guru takes your hand, A, B, C. Oh, now I understand. He shows how to do. That's called show and tell. You remember in school? You show and tell. No, these are my glasses. I got them yesterday. I put them on backwards. So we need show and tell. We learn. There's some persons who are very intelligent. Krishna says one who reads this Gita worships me by his intelligence. But for most people, we're not grasped by intelligence. We need show and tell. So this is how to take birth, how to live your life, and the art of dying. It's all explained by Bhagavat and person Bhagavat, by Bhagavatam and by who demonstrates the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada allowed Yadavara to actually film the days up to his departure. You've seen how Prabhupada is lying there in the bed and he's thin, and Pradyumna has the microphone next to Prabhupada's. And he was just whispering, "So Brahma said that in this life we must..." Prabhupada was just whispering, fulfilling the order of his spiritual master to his last dying breath. This is the cycle. He got the order to spread Krishna consciousness in English-speaking language, and he took that order to heart. And the order of his spiritual master was his life and soul. We're meant to make the words of the spiritual master one with our heart. And in our line, we're a missionary movement. So up to the end, Prabhupada showed the example. His last dying breath, there's the final purports in the 10th canto. Of course, I've never watched that video, and I never will, because it's too painful. There's a samurai warrior code. If someone asks out of curiosity how the samurai warrior died in battle, the samurai warrior's friend would reply, "Don't ask me how he died, ask me how he lived." Because you can never really prepare your death. That's like, there's no way you can prepare your death. You can prepare for death, but it's generally kind of an embarrassed thing. You're in a hospital bed in adult diapers and you're unconscious, and or you're in a car accident and your body's smeared all over the pavement, or you have malaria, you die in a fever in a tourist location somewhere in Ethiopia. It's just crazy how it's not always that you'll be surrounded by devotees, so you may not even be able to remember Krishna at the moment of death. Actually, Ramanujacharya, understanding the awkwardness of leaving this world, he asked Ranganath, the deity in Sri Rangam, the big deity, Ranganath, he said, "Lord, if you're a devotee..." Because he can speak to the deity, and the deity can speak to him, he's fully Krishna conscious. He said, "Lord," to the deity, "if your devotee can't remember you at the moment of death, what happens?" His whole life he's been practicing Krishna consciousness, but he's sleeping in the car when there's a car accident, or he's screaming out of fear when there's a plane crashes to the ground, or he's in adult diapers and he's got no control, he's got Alzheimer's, he doesn't even remember who he is, who is anybody. This is generally the case. You know, you've got the romantic TV cowboy version of, you know, he's dying, and, "Yes, well, I'm dying now, I'd just like to say thank the mom and dad and give my wife a kiss, and I've left some money for the kids," and it's not like that. It's a difficult situation, extremely difficult. So Ramana just said, "Lord, if your devotee who's given his whole life to you can't remember, what happens?" So the deity smiled. The deity smiled and said, "Ramanuja, if my devotee cannot remember me at the moment of death, I will remember my devotee. Bhagavan Shri Krishna ki." And the devotee prays like that in Ishvapanishad. "My dear Lord, please remember all I've done for you. Please remember all I've done for you." So the samurai says, "Don't ask me how he died. Ask me how he lived." So Prabhupada taught us at that moment the art of dying. So by studying the life and teachings of Haridasa Thakur, we learn to deal with other challenges. We don't want to get stuck on the moment of death. It's just a moment in our sojourn. It's just getting another assignment for the preacher. It's just, you instead of, you know, here you're working at Nogovardhan, then you go down to Sydney. Or you go to Perth. Or maybe they send you overseas to Indonesia. Ramai Swami will send you to Indonesia. Whoa, I have to go, goodbye. So what is death for a devotee? It's just another assignment. Here or there in Goloka, it's just another assignment. So, but there's many challenges up until that point as well. What do they say? Life is tough and then you die. Yeah, okay. So there's many challenges we have to meet in life, and devotees like Haridas Thakur, they teach us. So here's a situation where he's being challenged in his preaching. So what does that have to do with us? Well, we're preachers. According to our capacity, we're all preachers. And we have to, you know, sometimes face opposition. You don't get much opposition in Mwulamba. But maybe in the future you will. We're free to preach. We're discussing this, touching on this yesterday. We're free to preach everywhere in the world, but the day may come when the world order is an upheaval. There's a saying that every 50 years there's a major war. Well, we're kind of beyond that now, but history repeats itself. It may be that one day that the war and the drought and the famine that we all see on CNN and BBC and Australian news, it may not just be in the Middle East or Ethiopia. It may be in New Zealand. It may be in America, Western countries as well. We mentioned the other day that sinful activity has become the norm. What was considered immoral, you know, when I was a young boy, it's just like it's just the norm now. And especially a cow slaughter, abortion. So the reaction will come. I'm not meant to give a fire and brimstone lecture here. You better surrender. But it's just math. It's mathematics. As you sow, so shall you reap. We're okay. But there's 7 billion people on this planet who aren't okay. And in the Bible, here we go, fire and brimstone. In Timothy 5:24, from my catechism classes. Actually, I wasn't a Catholic, I was. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. The sins of others trail behind them. Anyway, what do you say down here? No one else says it but you guys. What goes around comes around. That's an Aussie. So we have to be prepared to deal with the hardships, not necessarily our own, because at the moment of initiation, we get a clean slate. A little bit is left, a little karma is left, just so we don't become complacent. You know, like, wake up. Oh, you get a little sick, there's an accident. Oh, I better get serious now. I thought the guru took all my karma. Yeah, most of it, left a little bit just so you're not complacent. Jijago. But we have to deal with others. That's our responsibility. We are concerned about others. As we said yesterday, we're already liberated as long as we stick to the path. But what about all those, Prahlad was saying, I don't want to go to the Himalayas. I want to live in the city. I want to live in Sydney and Perth and New York. Because I'm concerned about all these poor people rotting in material existence. So we have to be able to deal with those hardships. And Haridas Thakur is teaching us. If we get persecuted, what you do? There's hardships and we have to be there. One of them is persecution. One is just, look how people are suffering, so what are we going to do about it? Sit up here on the hill? No. You do what you did here. During Cyclone Debbie, such a sweet name, Debbie, to a vicious cyclone. I'm just going to call it some Cyclone Putana or something, Trinivarta. But what did you do? You did the right thing. When the cyclone was there, you had to clean up your mess, but you were sensitive because you're good devotees and you've imbibed this mood of Srila Prabhupada in our previous chart. You went into the region here and you distributed prasadam to the people. How do I know? Because I was in Mwulamba and I was hearing people say, well, the Hare Krishnas, they distributed food when people were in need after the cyclone. One lady had tears in her eyes. She said, one young Hare Krishna girl waded through the flood waters to come to our house to bring us hot food. Tears in her eyes. You're up here on the hill. They don't know what the heck you're doing up here. They come out of curiosity, a little food, and they run away. But when they're in need, you did the right thing. You went out there and you distributed several thousand plates of bhikshanam. They will not forget. I saw it on their faces. I saw it in their eyes. They're so grateful to you. So we know how to react. All glories to all the new Govardhan Vasis. So it's just a little cyclone, little Debbie. But much more may be on, may be ahead of us. One time Prabhupada was discussing the possibility of World War III on a morning walk. And like devotees, just like a magnet. And then later in the afternoon, Harikesh Maharaj said to Prabhupada, they were sitting because he was the secretary, and he was saying, Prabhupada, how are we going to preach in if there's a war? Because, well, we can't go to the stores, and we, you know, it's going to be, there won't be any fruits and vegetables. You know, how are we going to preach? We won't have any food. And Prabhupada said, then you eat meat. What? You eat meat, but you have to keep the preaching going. Some of you are in shock. Time, place, and circumstance. You know, we're living in the golden era of the golden era of the golden era. And I don't think my generation will see it because, you know, but you're all young and you may see, or your children may see. So these pastimes are not just kind of like, you know, something we read at night before we go to bed, a little story. They're all relevant. He's teaching by example. So the following pastime of Haridas Thakur being beaten in 22 marketplaces is not easy to hear. But again, here we must, because there's many valuable lessons that we need to learn for future times. Lessons in tolerance, determination, courage, which are all needed to preach. And we remember, again, I said it last year and I've said it already this in this year's seminars, one of my favorite quotes. In a purport to Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Pari Bhajikacharya Ushtatata Sri Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, there are only two principal instructions. Develop a taste for chanting the holy names and display compassion for the fallen souls. So yesterday, we heard how Haridas Thakur was thrown into prison. And what was his crime? Chanting and preaching. Even not preaching, he was just such an effulgent personality. He was chanting and people would just come to him. He didn't have to go out. He was so effulgent, they would just... I often say one time Prabhupada was crossing the street in London with his disciples, and one of the bobbies, that's an English term for policeman, a bobby. One of the bobbies grabbed Shamasundar's arm and said, look, your teacher's glowing. So people were just naturally attracted. But again, as we were saying, that it attracted the attention of the atheists as well. Especially Haridas Thakur's preaching attracted the attention of the caste-conscious Brahmins, who were upset with him because although he was born in a Yavana family, he was getting so much respect, more respect than them. And the Muslims, remember, the Muslims were upset because he converted to Hinduism, so-called Hinduism. He converted, and he was converting others. So he had, you know, the Hindus and the Muslims, they came together. Let's work together on this one, guys. Let's bring this guy down. Actually, Haridas Thakur wasn't converting anyone from one religion to another. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati takes up this theme a lot. He said he wasn't converting anyone from one religion. He said because he was advocating Sanatana Dharma. What is Sanatana Dharma? Sanatana Dharma means what is the eternally liberated situation of the soul. And what is that? That he's an eternal servant of Krishna. The soul is not Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Jew. God is not Christian, Hindu, Muslim, or Jew. He's God, and we're his servants. So we're speaking on that platform. Prabhupada once, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, I'm sure this is where Prabhupada got it from, he called the present-day religions, with all due respect, sincerely, with all due respect, he called them temporary religions. Religions they are, And religion means, it comes from the Latin verb reglio, which means to connect, to reconnect, like yoga means to connect with. So Latin verb reglio is where we get the word religion. It means to reconnect. So the present day religions are all for connecting with God again, and they're doing a great job. But Sanatana Dharma is beyond that. We're discussing what, when you get liberated, what do? You're a cowherd boy. You're a cowherd girl. You deal with Krishna as your child, your servant. This is Sanatana Dharma, what we eternally do. Not something that's a religion which has come into existence and stays for some time and may pass on. He was preaching the eternality nature of the soul. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says in his eloquent English, a little formal, he said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, eternal, non-dual, and the Lord of all living beings. That one Lord is the controller of the Hindus, the Muslims, young and old, male and female. Hindus and Muslims who are ignorant of the science of the Supreme Lord foolishly fight with each other and oppose each other by concocting two different gods with separate names. My God is the real name, yours is not the real. But when they give up such discrimination and difference of opinion and indifferently consider their respective religious scriptures, the Puranas and the Quran, then they will find such differences. They will find no such differences in the absolute truth." It's eloquent English, but you get the point, right? But as we heard yesterday, the Muslim ruler, they're called Qazi at that time, he could not appreciate Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmanigavi Hastani Sunichaivasapakicha Pandita Samadarshanaha. That an enlightened soul, a Brahman, he sees with equal vision all living entities. He sees them on that spiritual platform. The Qazi couldn't see the non-sectarian view of Haridas Thakur, and he's very much influenced by everybody coming and complaining about him. So he had him arrested, much to the benefit of the prisoners, wherever a devotee goes. One time one of my godbrothers was thrown in jail because before he came to Krishna consciousness, he didn't pay his taxes. Actually came to the movement to escape. He thought, well, if I shave my head and I'm sneaking a dhoti, they're not going to notice me. But, you know, the long arm of the law found him in the temple, I remember, and they took him away. It wasn't my temple, it was in Chicago. And he wrote, Prabhupada, what do I do? Prabhupada said, you preach in the jail. You practice and you preach. He says, no difference. Everyone's in the jail. Okay. This is the Durga Dham. It means the jailhouse of material existence. There's four walls in a jail that make it difficult to escape, right? There's the front wall, the back wall, the left and the side. You can't get out. So there's four walls in material existence that make it impossible to get out of here. Hari Swami Prabhu quoted a verse the other day. He said, no one gets out of here alive. And it's true. There's birth, there's disease, there's old age and death. Try to climb the wall and overcome birth. Try to climb the wall and overcome disease. Try to climb the wall and overcome old age. Believe me, it doesn't work. You can put lots of nice skin cream on your face and eat the fruits and the veggies your whole life and dye your hair. You still look 76, I'm sorry. Except Mondakini. Mother Mondakini, my favorite female Bhagavatam speaker, I attended her class the other day. Wonderful class. She's turning 78. Are you here, Mondakini? She's turning 78. And I tell her, you look like you're 56. Now you tell any of these girls you look like 56. No! You tell a 78-year-old woman. But we can't escape old age. And who's ever escaped death? Nobody. So, yes, Haridas Thakur, when he went to the prison, then the prisoners were fortunate because he preached, and my godbrother, I don't know, I hope he's still not there, but Prabhupada said, you can preach. Everyone's in the prison. We should all think we're in a prison and want to get out. You think the prisoners are like, They may have a TV, they may have, you know, computer games, they may have that. Do you think they're happy there? They're always thinking, when am I going to get out of here? So we should be like that. We shouldn't be complacent. We get all the modern amenities of life and we become a little bit illusioned and we think, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. No, we should always be aware of the temporary and flickering nature of material life and keep at the forefront of our mind our real business, back home, back to Godhead. So he was thrown in prison, and the court, they made their decision, along with the Qazi, the Muslim ruler, and they were going to pass sentence on him. And you know the sentence, being whipped in 22 market. Usually, when a prisoner was whipped, he only lasted like about a half a market, or one market, or maybe two. So just to show how much they hated Haridas Thakur, they hated him. They hated a Vaishnava. Oh my God. What is your destination? You hate a Vaishnava. 22 marketplaces. They knew he wouldn't do that. Sometimes they give people, when they commit a crime, they give them 55 life sentences. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. No one's going to live out one life sentence. But just to show how cruel that person was, they give him that title. You have 56 life sentences. All right. So 22 marketplaces. But just before the Qazi stood up to announce and pass sentence on Haridas Thakur, one of his ministers took a little compassion on the sadhu. The nature of sadhus is they soften our heart by their associate. They don't make our heart like material. When you associate with materialistic people, you become hard-hearted. When you associate with sadhus, it doesn't matter who you are, your heart becomes softened imperceptibly, little bit. That's why we need to train our Gurukul children to become sadhus and sadvis and give their association to the whole world, to soften the heart of the world. So one of the ministers, he stood up and he said, the children, mommies, he said to Haridas Thakur, "Oh brother," he said, "Oh brother, just recite a traditional confession from the Quran." There's a confession in the Quran. If you've done something wrong, there's some words you say from the Quran. Just recite a traditional confession from the Quran that you regret your actions. You regret your foolish singing of the Hindu names for Allah. Do that, and you'll have nothing to worry about. Otherwise, the Qazi and his men will punish you, and you'll have to recite the Quran anyway. There's Haridas Thakur, you know. The Qazi is about to sentence him to death, and his minister is giving him a way out. What did Haridas Thakur do? He stood there defiantly. He was tall and handsome. I keep saying that because everywhere I read, he's handsome. And he stands out, all these ugly, meany demons. You know, they're all dark and gloomy and sinful and whatever. They don't even smell good. Haridas Thakur, he stood there defiantly, replied, "One cannot do anything other than what the Supreme Lord desires." What? Then he turned and he looked directly into the eyes of the Qazi and he said, "Know for certain that the Lord awards the results of one's offenses, dear sir. Even if my body is cut into pieces and I give up my life, I will never stop chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." So remember Raghava Pandit, the disciple of Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, whom I quoted the other day. It's okay to quote, because just like I quote, you know, Radhanath Swami, or I may quote Niranjan Swami, or I may quote Bibi Govinda Maharaj, or, you know, I'll quote somebody because they're Pukka disciples of the Pukka God Brothers. It's good to quote, okay to quote. So we don't know of these personalities, but Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati had 50,000 disciples, and many of them were very devoted to him and very good disciples. they've gone to Golok. So this particular Raghava got the name Pandit because he was a scholar, and he wrote, and Prabhupada actually told, he said, in our ISKCON movement, the sannyasis should write. They should write their understanding of the elucidation of the scripture and their personal realizations to share. This is fine. So Raghava Pandit wrote a book called The Divine Name in the 1930s. So he comments in his writings, he says that, in this book, he says that when Haridas Thakur spoke like that, like the Qazi went, and he said, the words of Haridas Thakur were like piercing shafts released from a powerful bow. Everyone was in shock. Because usually you think, oh, okay, I'll say something to the Quran, I'm really sorry. Chant Hare Krishna. I'll never stop. If you cut my body, I'll never stop chanting. So Raghava Pandit, he further writes, What a brilliant example of firm determination and a noble idea of extraordinary willpower. For every aspirant marching towards God realization, this example of Haridas Thakur is like a guiding star. Raghava Pandit, Prabhu Ki. So after Haridas Thakur spoke, the acharyas say that the Muslim mullah was just like, what did you say? He was stunned by the acharya's resolve, by his determination, and by his fearlessness. Where does the fearlessness come from? Because the Shastra says that fear personified is afraid of Krishna's name. It's poetic, but it goes deep. We don't have to be fearful in any situation, because fear personified is afraid of Krishna's name. If you're in a fearful situation, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama. But the acharyas say they were more. He was most deeply impressed by Haridas Thakur's faith in the holy names. So you know what he did? He just couldn't help himself. He adjusted his strict ruling that Haridas Thakur had to be beaten, killed actually. He said like this. He said, okay, he should be beaten in 22 marketplaces. Take his life in this way. That is my ruling. If, however, he survives, because you can see this is not an ordinary person, if he survives being beaten in 22 marketplaces, then we'll understand that he's actually in knowledge and his words are true and he's to be respected. He's slightly adjusted. Because why? Because standing in the presence of a pure devotee, you can't help but be affected by his purity. Many of my godbrothers and godsisters will tell you what it was like to be in Prabhupada's association. It's just otherworldly. Even though we were hippies and thisies and thatties, we could still perceive that Prabhupada was special. Otherwise, how did we surrender? Even the knowledge, I really didn't grasp the philosophy for some time, but it's just being in Prabhupada's presence as self-effulgent acharya was otherworldly. And although materialistic people are covered by tamas and rajas, the pure devotees are so powerful they can touch the hearts of the most materialistic persons, even demons. Is there a shastric reference for that? Yes, there is. In the Sad Goswami Ashlokam, it is said about the six Goswamis, Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priya Karo Nirmatsuro Pujito. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God. And as such, they are popular both with the gentle and the ruffians. Ruffians, hoodlums, bad guys, dacoits, criminals. Don't know what you call them here. Because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. So this is there's many important things in this verse, but But my point is here, they're popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians. How do you become popular? Because the devotee is not envious. He doesn't approach anyone to take anything. He only approaches to give. In this material world, there's all this competition for sense gratification, you know, like you throw some seeds in the ground, all the birds come, they're fighting. This is the material world. We do it in a polite way, in a civil society, but we're all fighting for sense gratification. There's hardly enough to go around, so there's wars. So you find someone who walks in and says, what do you want? Nothing. No? I just want to give to you. You want to give? You give me money? No, I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to give you freedom from birth, disease, old age, and death. Really? Yep. Well, not really interested. Take it anyway. Like sometimes Prabhupada would say, here's Krishna, take him. I heard him say one time in Rome. He said, here's Krishna. This is our movement. He's so hard to attain, Krishna. For great yogis, jnanis, mystics, even devotees. How? And he said, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. Here's Krishna. Take him. And Prabhupada said, his father told him, the Lord is a universal form. Purusha Shakti has so many arms, so many hands, thousands, millions. He said, what can your two little hands take, Abhai? He's giving you so much mercy. So grab it while you can. So this is a devotee. He's not, we don't need to take anything. We're happy. We're happy. We don't have many material needs. We've been trained to know that we don't need so much material facility. We need. The needs are a little different. Brahmacharis and grihasthas, the needs are different, and you live accordingly. Prabhupada said we don't have to solve the problems of life in nasty conditions like cats and dogs. We can live comfortably in this world. But not more. And it's not hard to arrange such a struggle to arrange the basic needs, and you find time to preach. You find time to go out and preach the divine command. So when you go, we're not asking anything. We're only asking you, sir, please hear this message of Krishna consciousness. And because, again, there's a little element of truthfulness, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity, are decreasing day by day in the age of Kali. But Prabhupada said somehow or other there's a little bit of truthfulness left, that when you speak the truth, people get it. Not everybody, but there's enough people that if you spend time preaching through the internet or through your example or through your family or through your business or whatever, you're going to touch some souls, and that's going to really please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Kazi was somehow, he's like, who is this person? Just like Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the ruler at that time in the Middle East and the Israeli area. And when they brought Jesus before him, he looked at him and he's supposed to sentence him. He said, who are you that you speak like this and that you have so many followers who have totally dedicated their lives to you? I know these are my people. I know what they do. I know who they are. They're not interested in following rules and regulations. They're just following God, country before God. They follow me. Now they're following you. You're a simple man born in a village in Bethlehem. Who are you that you've attracted so many souls to a spiritual path? I don't know if you're more dangerous, dead or alive. He didn't know if he should have him crucified, because he knew that if he was crucified, he would become a martyr. What's a martyr? A martyr means that someone who sacrifices their life for God, and then he's such an inspiration that he's even more powerful after he's dead. His followers just like really follow him then. That's a martyr. So Pontius Pilate, he could say, I don't know if you're more dangerous. Who are you? So even the hearts of the most hardened criminals, you can also meet them on the street and they'll take a book. You know, they're in the way and they meet you. Like, they look at you. Like I always say, I've said many times, when you're doing book distribution, they don't buy the book, they buy you. They see something in your eyes. The eyes are the light of the soul. The soul's buried deep within the inner recesses of the chambers of the aorta of the heart. You can't see it. But and it's effulgent. Prabhupada told us one time in Paris, he said, The soul is more effulgent than 10,000 suns rising simultaneously. You can see, no, covered. But you can see the light of the soul through the eyes. So when devotees preach like that, people can, something happens. This is the miracle of Krishna consciousness. So as Pontius Pilate saw that in Jesus Christ, so the Muslim ruler, the Qazi, saw that in Haridasa Thakur. So he left open the possibility he might survive. It's so wonderful to change people's hearts. Papa called that the real welfare. People who are pious, they want to do welfare and help others, give food, give medicine, give clothing, but it's all temporary. The real welfare work is distributing knowledge. That's the real welfare work. And so it came to pass that Haridasa Thakur was dragged mercilessly through 22 marketplaces. In Chaitanya Bhagavata, it's described in detail. I don't want to repeat something like that. It's too painful. Usually it took a couple markets to die. But to the astonishment of those beating him and those who were on the path watching, he wasn't dying. What was he doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The ultimate shelter. And it's explained in Chaitanya Bhagavata that as a result he felt no pain. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains. Just as Hiranyakashipu tortured his Mahabhagavata son, Prahlad Maharaj, in various ways, the sinful Muslims began to torture Haridasa Thakur in various ways. But like Prahlad Maharaj, he did not feel any pain. The quality of tolerance like that is natural for a Mahabhagavata. They are so busy and constantly serving the Supreme Lord that incidents of the external world cannot give them any anxiety. That is why Lord Gaurasundar has stated in his Shikshastakam that only one who is more tolerant than a tree is able to glorify the topics of Krishna, not others. The most amazing thing is that, even more than the fact that he was oblivious to the pain, and you can imagine these canes, they're wooden sticks. It's not a whip. They hit him with a cane. I remember that I was in France in the early days. There was the student revolutions in the late 60s. You probably don't know about them, but they were quite famous at that time. The students were revolting against many things in the government. They actually brought down the government at one point. And I remember we were doing Harinam one time. We're going through this student quarter, the Quartier Latin. And the students were revolting. And then the police arrived in these vans, and they came out with these helmets and everything. And the devotees said, what should we do? I said, we'll switch mantras. What? Namaste Narasingaya Prahlada. We have one mantra. We have other mantras, time, place, and circumstance. So we started chanting, and then there was a baton, like they rushed with the sticks, the shields, and they rushed. The students were there. We were in the middle, and the police were coming. I was thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen now? But the police knew us. We're the silly Hare Krishnas with the ponytails who give out the sweets, you know. And when they arrested us, we just laughed in the jail and didn't, you know. So they went past us, and they beat those kids to pulps. I remember the next day, the kids came out. They were complaining about priest brutality, and all the boys had their shirts off, and there was huge welt marks. All of it was like horrible. With the baton, they were like rubber, like. Some boys had big lumps on their head. Girls also. But the boys were bare-chested, and they had these huge welts all over. So this is what they did to Haridasa. How much of that can you take? You're beating like that. So they're beating Haridasa Thakur like this, beating him, beating him, beating him. And he's singing Hare Krishna. So he's not feeling the pain. But the most amazing thing is that while he was being beaten, the acharyas say he was praying for the deliverance of the beaters. Now, how deep is that? Um, Prabhupada said, Jesus Christ prayed for the deliverance of his followers, but Vasudeva Datta was praying for the deliverance of all living entities. He said to the Mahaprabhu, let all the living entities in creation go back to Godhead. I'll remain here in this world and suffer those sinful reactions. What? We can never reach that level, but we can worship their lotus feet and help them in some way. So Haridas Thakur, he was praying as follows. Bhaktisananda Saraswati knows Triganakala. He knows. He said, Haridas was saying, oh Krishna, be merciful on these living entities. Forgive them, please, please forgive them for their offense of beating me. And then Bhaktisananda Saraswati says, such characteristics are also seen in the lives of Jesus Christ and Muhammad. So, after about 20 marketplaces or 21 marketplaces, the guards, they pleaded to Haridas Thakur, Haridas, the Kazi will kill us if you don't die. Oh, really? Oh, I'm feeling really bad about that. So he smiled and he replied with compassion. If my remaining alive causes a problem for you, then I'll give up my body now. So he entered a deep state of samadhi or meditation on the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. And he appeared dead. This is samadhi. Actually, when they found Lord Chaitanya, the new sannyasi who traveled from Navadvipa down to Puri, and they found him, he came alone to that part of the journey into the temple of Jagannath, and he saw the deity, Jagannath. He saw Shamsundar Krishna. He fainted on the ground, and he was in ecstasy. He was in samadhi, a spiritual state of trance. So he wasn't even breathing. There was no life symbol. There was no pulse. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who knew the science of Krishna consciousness to some degree, he came and he put a little cotton swab near his nostril. His one little cotton, when the piece of the cotton was moving, he's alive. He's in samadhi. He's only 25 years old. He looks like a young man, handsome young sannyasi. He said, better take him to my house and instruct him. That's another story. But that's when you go into the samadhi, that's what it appears, that's what happened. So the Kazi came, they kicked him, yeah, he's dead. Good riddance. Throw him in a river. So the guards, whew, they're not throwing us in the river, they're throwing him in the river. So they also give him a good kick. Good riddance. And they attempted to pick him up. But at that moment, Haridas Thakur's body became erect, like this, and immovable, with a smile on his face. They couldn't handle the smile. It's adding injury to insult. He's in samadhi. So the king called for many, many men to come. 5, 10, 50, 100, they tied ropes, 200, 300. They got horses. They couldn't move his body. Why? Because Lord Vishwambar, Lord Krishna, the Lord of the universe, had entered his body. So he was very heavy. You can't move God. How dear is Haridas Thakur to the Supreme Lord that he entered his body and protected him from being defiled. They wanted to just rip him apart and throw him in the river. Protecting his devotee. Raki Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Raki Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. If Krishna save you, no one can kill you. So, but after some time, the acharyas say, Krishna, he allowed them, because most of them just left. So, what was it like? You know, this is too hard. A couple were left, and Kazi was just sitting there totally dead. He's like, he's got to get rid of his body. Who is this guy? So after a while, they were able to throw him into the Ganges, and he floated down the river in trance. Eventually, his body reached the shore. He woke up. He stood up. Started walking back into town. Not walking, dancing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And he was chanting, how did he chant? Remember, 100,000 rounds softly, 100,000 rounds for the devotees chanting with him, and 100,000 rounds at the top of his lungs. And he had loud voice. He had all wonderful character, handsome, loud voice. So they heard the chanting of Haridas Thakur from a distance from the town. So all the people came out like, what? We thought he was dead. He's not dead. And the Hindus and the Muslims were dancing together in joy. Just see how this movement elevates. Right? When the boat rises, when the water rises, all the boats rise to the same level. So in the presence of a pure devotee, everyone's consciousness becomes elevated to some degree. Even if they just read in the newspaper, the Hare Krishnas. Oh, Martha, the Hare Krishnas are in town. You said it. You said Hare Krishna, Nambas. Doesn't matter. So they all came, and it's described, the Muslims, and they greeted him, this great saint. And hearing of the miracle that Haridas Thakur not only survived, but was chanting and dancing in ecstasy, and had no marks on his body. There were no welts. Why? Because we don't have time now. This is too short. We need a month to begin to touch on his glories. But later it was revealed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the beating. He revealed how he turned his back when Haridas met him, and the welts were on his back. This is the real meaning of good Lord, the good Lord. So they saw, this is a miracle. There's nothing on his... So the Muslim ruler came, and he did the Hindu thing. He paid obeisances. And he stood up, and he said the following. Haridas, now I know for certain that you are a powerful saint, for you are firmly convinced that the Supreme Lord is one. All the so-called yogis and gyanis, I've heard them speaking big words. But I can see you, Haridas, have attained perfection through chanting Sri Krishna's holy name. Sir, he addressed him, sir, I have personally come to meet you. Therefore, please forgive all my offenses. You are equal to everyone, both friend and enemy. But there is no one in the three worlds who can understand you. Therefore, you are free to go wherever you wish. Please stay in my region. Live on a cave in the bank of the Ganges and continue chanting the name of your God. We look forward to the day that the members of our movement will reach such a stature that they can influence the politicians in this way. Haridas said, sure, I forgive you. Can you imagine? You've been beaten. This ability to forgive and forget is a deep quality. And it's described, therefore, the Muslim ruler received no mummies. The where's your mom? Dad? Any other ladies? Help. Therefore, the Muslim ruler received no sinful reaction. But those who had canvassed against Haridasa, who had gone out of their way, like, you know, the smarta brahmanas and the Muslims who had gone and complained, they wouldn't come and see him. They showed no remorse. They showed no remorse. And it's described, they were all destroyed along with their family members within weeks by cholera. This cholera keeps coming up. That's how you got it in those days, cholera. And the Skanda Purana, it is said, whoever kills or blasphemes a Vaishnava, whoever is envious or angry with a Vaishnava, and one who does not offer obeisances or feel joy upon seeing a Vaishnava, certainly falls into a hellish condition. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati commented on that verse from Skanda Purana. He said, that verse is an infallible scriptural decree. It gets his That verse is an infallible scriptural decree. Hare Krishna. Srila Haridasa Thakur ki. I'm running out of time. So after the incident, Haridasa Thakur accepted the offer of the Muslim king to stay in his region, and he went to live in a cave. And as he did so, everybody came to see him. Hindus came and the Muslims came. They're all sitting together, one happy family, transcendental to all these designations, just the family of God. Or as Sakhi Rai has in his little altar in his home, as Vrajabalabhi pointed out at Kashori Sindhu's wedding, they have a little sign, the Hare Krishna family. So this, it's extending. People come to this deeper understanding. So everybody came to the Hare Krishna family. Haridasa Thakur was giving class every day. Guess what he's giving class on? The holy names. And everyone became attracted. This is the meaning of self-effulgent acharya. He doesn't need to be proclaimed to be an acharya, but his divine qualities are self-evident. But after some time, people started smelling this toxic, smell that was coming from the cave, like acidic, toxic smell coming from the cave, and it was so strong. It's like overwhelming. They just sometimes you're passing past a gas. You're driving somewhere, and there's a gas plant or some sewer, you know, plant or something, and you roll up the windows. It's like that. They started going. This is and they couldn't. Their eyes were watering, and their hearts were beating. This toxic smell. They couldn't enter. So they called some jyotish, some astrologers together, and some palm readers together, and some mystics together, and they all. We got it. We found there's a snake in there. There's a huge, dangerous snake. He's so venomous. His poison is emanating from his fangs. And his Haridasa is just, Hare Krishna. And he's not afraid of the snake, nothing. He's just chanting, oblivious. But no one could go there. So they kind of went in. Haridasa, there's a snake here. Could you please leave? It's too dangerous for you, and we can't get your association. So Haridasa said, thinking, he said, okay, I'll leave, but it's still light out. We've got some time. Let's chant Hare Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. So he considered that the most urgent matter of the moment was not running away from the snake, but taking full advantage of our human form of life and chanting Hare Krishna. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said your bhajan will be analyzed, it will be determined at the moment of death. So a devotee tries to get in as much chanting, as much pure chanting as possible. And that's why these festivals are so nice, because our kirtaneers are leading, aren't they leading the most wonderful kirtans? So nice. And you're also nice chanting and dancing and the Hare Krishna family. So they all chant, Hare Krishna. They're all chanting like this. And then suddenly, to everyone's amazement, the snake came out of the corner, this ginormous, as you say here, ginormous snake, and he went and he left the cave. Well, what happened? He'd been there before Haridasa. Haridasa considered himself the guest. He was intruding on the snake's property. This is a devotee. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has written, he said, considering that it is never proper to live with a cruel, deceitful, fierce, poisonous snake, the visitors requested Haridasa to leave the cave, but he didn't leave, and he liberated everybody by his chanting. They were all chanting together. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati concludes, he says, this was due to the mystic powers of Haridasa Thakur. That his visitors were troubled, and they couldn't chant, so by the mystic power of Haridasa Thakur, snake left. So he writes, the large, wonderful snake looked most fearful, yet it was also very beautiful, being colored yellow, blue, and white. When the guests saw the beautiful jewel decorating the snake's head, they fearfully remembered Krishna. After the snake left that place, the guests were overjoyed to find that the horrible odor had gone with it. They knew it was because of Haridasa Thakur's mystic powers, and thus their appreciation for him grew. But then he further comments, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it was very nice that they appreciated the mystic powers of Haridasa Thakur, because as we learn in Shastra, a pure devotee possesses all mystic powers. But he doesn't display them because the people will follow him for that reason rather than the divine knowledge which he's giving, which will really free one from the material world and take one back to Godhead. So very rarely do pure devotees show. They may sometimes utilize in times of necessity, just like one time the altar was collapsing at the installation of Radha Landanishwar in the Buri Place temple. And Prabhupada was the only one behind the curtain. They were sitting on this platform. It started to crack, so Prabhupada held it. Those huge deities. He was an old man. He was holding up the full force of both Radha and Krishna marble deities. And he said, help. So the Brahmika took 10 brahmacharis, Shyamasundar said, to hold up that board after Prabhupada went away. What was that? And Prabhupada didn't want to. Only in emergency he would perhaps do something like that, because the pure devotee wants people to follow him for the Divya Gyan, for the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Make those words one with your heart. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, it's nice that people appreciate Haridas for his mystic powers, but they fail to see his real glories. That by his chanting of Hare Krishna, so many thousands of people were delivered from material existence. And this was his real miracle. Actually, Lord Buddha, there's a section in his teachings that he was once asked about mystic powers. So he spoke about three mystic powers in particular. Number one, the power to appear as many persons, to expand yourself, and within the same category, to pass through walls, to fly through the air, and the ability to walk on water. Number two, the mystic power to be able to read other people's minds. Number three, these are the three mystic powers he considered most relevant, the power to guide people according to their mental development for their own good, using suitable methods appropriate for each person. So he, in his instructions, he taught that the monk who uses the first two for name and fame is not a genuine monk. In other words, if you develop mystic powers, you can appear as many persons, you can expand, you can walk through walls, you can fly in the air, you can be people's mind. He said if a monk develops those mystic powers and, you know, uses them for name and fame, then he's not a real monk. And he said, anyway, the third power is what he called the miracle of instruction. This is famous amongst the Buddhist monks. They call it the miracle of instruction. What is the miracle of instruction? The power to guide people according to their mental development, to understand where they're at, for their own good, using suitable methods appropriate for each person. He called that a mystic power. He said, this miracle of inspiration is the only power to be developed, the only mystic power to be developed and practiced. And he encouraged that. So we see that power in Haridas Thakur to convince people through the appropriate method, which is what? The Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna. Appropriate for each person, appropriate for every person. Everyone born in Kali Yuga, this is the form. Nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. And we see that in our own spiritual master, Śrīla Prabhupāda, because he's also Acharya. Acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada had the power the same way. It's a modern-day pastime. History repeats itself. We're so fortunate. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are continuing in full force through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada, it's said, there's that, I don't know where it came from, he turned hippies into happies. Right? Okay. It's been done, you know, we think of it. Usually when things happen, you kind of take it for granted, but believe me, it was not easy to turn hippies into happies. It was a romantic idea. The flower children. If you're coming to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. I remember when it came out. I was there. Mainly we, I'm sorry to say, we're into sense gratification. When a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada what was a hippie, you know, Prabhupada smiled, he deferred, you tell me. But he was able to turn thousands of them into devotees. He did give us some credit. Reviewing a little of my past, I won't go into details here because I have my disciples. But he did give some credit to the hippies. He said they had so many sinful habits, but they had one good quality. Looking back, there's like no good qualities. Maybe it looked good in the photographs, you know, the flower children, you know, but it was all sinful life. But Prabhupada noted, he said, they had a spirit of renunciation. They understood the status quo, the materialistic life that was the status quo in America at that time. It wasn't desirable. And they wanted an alternative. Of course, they didn't know what the alternative was. They were experimenting in various ways, many times in the wrong ways. But they had this spirit of renouncing the world for something higher. And thus, enter the stage, Śrīla Prabhupāda. It's almost as if, and this is total speculation, but it's almost as if the whole flower generation was generated by the desire of the Lord so Prabhupada could come in and begin the Hare Krishna movement. Because they were ready. When Prabhupada came and gave them the higher taste they were looking for, gave them the higher knowledge they were looking for, the higher culture they were living for, they gave it up. They gave up the sex, the drugs, and the rock and roll, which were very prominent at the Fillmore East and the Avalon Ballroom, you know, with the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin and her body of Southern Comfort and all these things we saw, so degraded, became more and more degraded. When George Harrison finally came to America after singing all the songs, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and, you know, all that stuff, he was embarrassed. He said, I am partially responsible for this. He told, he told the devotees. He felt responsible because of his music. It created that atmosphere, so people took to that life. And he walked down Haight-Ashbury. He said, I'm responsible for this. But Prabhupada came, and in Golden Gate Park, which is the main park in San Francisco, he sat with a little drum. He didn't take like a whole record company and thousands of and musicians and companies to spread the word. He sat down in a park in Thompson Square Park, in Golden Gate Park, in this instance. Boom, boom, boom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And the words from the lips of a pure devotee, from his heart, his compassion to see all these souls get Krishna's mercy, it created a spiritual revolution. East Coast, West Coast, then it went to London, then it went to Germany, then it went to Australia, and now it's in China, and it's in Russia. Who is Śrīla Prabhupāda? They couldn't understand who was Haridas Thakur. Who could understand? This was his miracle. One time a magician came to the, this traveling magician came to the Krishna Balaram Mandir in the beginning, and the school had just started, the Gurukul, and he was invited to come to the school to entertain the kids. So someone, I think Prabhupada's secretary, said, there's a magician, do you want to go see? Okay. No, Prabhupada, all right. And went and saw the magician do the magic show for the children. And at one point the magician came and used Prabhupada as one of the props. It wasn't really correct etiquette, but you put the coin here and you pull it out the other ear. It doesn't really happen like that. It's a sleight of hand, but he used Prabhupada like that, and I was tolerant, always ready to give some instruction. So then afterwards Prabhupada said to him, so you're a very good magician. Thank you, sir. You can do so many tricks. You can make so many things disappear. Yes, yes, I am. He said, but can you make birth, disease, and old age and death disappear? No, I can, so I'm a better magician than you. Prabhupada can because he's presenting Krishna's instructions. So both these acharyas, Namacharya, Śrīla Haridas Thakura, Śrīla Prabhupada, they're most dear to us, taking us on board, teaching us an example how to chant like them and how to preach like them. So we've been discussing them for 4 days now, and despite, because of my neophyte nature, I feel that I've fallen short in glorifying Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur properly. So I'd like to conclude the seminar with a beautiful glorification from the pen, from the words, from the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They always say in any event you should try to end on a high note. So rather than my meager realizations, I would like to conclude the seminar with the words of the great Bhaktivinoda Thakur Acharya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur glorifies Haridasa Thakur in the following ways, and he includes the pastime that we didn't have time for and was hard to speak on as well, the departure of Haridasa Thakur. It's very eloquent English, like his son Bhaktisanatha Saraswati Thakur. They were speaking many times to try to impress and attract the English speaking people of the time, the Britishers who were in the country. The same mood of equality, trying to enlighten everyone. And certainly if the British took the message, it would go around the world. And this is why later on Bhaktisananda Saraswati sent his sannyasis to London. That didn't work, so then Prabhupada came on the scene and he went to New York, which was the real dungeon of Kali Yuga. They call it the Big Apple. I think it's the Rotten Apple. I hope there's no New Yorkers here. I'll get in trouble, but it's amazing Prabhupada did that. But This is written in an English prose, but listen carefully. I'll read slowly, and then we'll finish with Haridasa Thakur's essence of all instructions. Okay, I'm sorry it's coming to a close. It's been so nice, so such an honor to speak about Haridasa Thakur, and you'll recognize one of the verses from here. He calls it Asaragrahi Vaishnava, speaking of Haridas. O born of Muslim parents, Haridas, and trained in youth in Muslim creed, thy noble heart to Vaishnav truth did pass, thy holy acts thy candor plead. Is there a soul that cannot learn from thee that man must give up sect for God, that thoughts of race and sect can ne'er agree with what they call religion broad. Thy love of God and brother soul alone, bereft thyself of early friends, thy softer feelings oft to kindness prone, led on thyself for higher ends. I weep to read the Qazis and their men oft persecuted thee. Alas, but thou didst nobly pray for thy wicked then, for thou wert Vaishnav, Haridas. And God is boundless grace to thee, O man, united thee to one who came to save the fallen souls from evil's plan of taking human souls to shame. And he it was who led you all that came for life eternally, holy, pure, and gave you rest in heaven's enduring name and sacred blessings ever sure. Thy body rests upon the sacred sands of Swagadar near the sea. O hundreds come to see thee from distant lands to enjoy a holy, thrilling glee. The waters roar, and storming winds assail thy ears in vain, ah, Vaishnava soul. The charms of Vrindavan thy heart regale, unknown the wheel of time doth roll. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas dies to live, and while living try to spread holy life around. Now let the candid man that seeks to live follow thy ways on shores of time, then prosperity sure to him will give, like one song in simple rhyme. Shri Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. And for one final time in this seminar, but hopefully throughout your lives, I've instructed my disciples actually to say this prayer. Later today we're going to give a little card to the disciples that you can take home. This prayer, which is so relevant to all of us as the Dharma for this age, imbibing these teachings and spreading these teachings. Hari Das Thakur, on the holy name. The holy name is the purest form of knowledge. It is the best of all vratas or vows and the highest meditation. It gives the most auspicious fruits. It is the greatest renunciation. It is a matchless spiritual activity. It is the most pious of holy works. It is the supreme path of self-realization. It offers the greatest liberation and goal. It is the topmost destination. It is the best devotional service and the most purifying agent. It gives love of Godhead and is the essence of remembrance of the Lord. It is the cause of all causes, the supreme absolute truth. It is the most worshipable object and acts as the supreme guide and spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Luk Prem Dan Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki, Srinam Prabhu ki, Gaur Bhaktivinda ki, Sacred Sounds Festival 2017, 2018 King, forever. Gopi Minande! Hare Krishna.